Hello and welcome to Mum's Work and Chaos. We all know the saying, it takes a village to raise a child, but where is that village? Well, I started this podcast to help you find yours, and I'm joined by some amazing guests this season, talking about subjects such as fast fashion, menopause, sex education, and teenage behaviour, just to name a few. So join me this season, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of Mum's Work in Chaos. Today I am joined by the wonderful Samantha Forrest, otherwise known as Fussy Food Plates, and she designs the most beautiful and hilarious plates for kids to help them, you know, just to make mealtimes much more fun. So Samantha, tell us a bit more about you.
Thank you. Why you've done this and so on. Absolutely, Louise. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here today talking to you. Yeah, that's you've said it in a nutshell there. We are all about making food fun, taking the stress out of mealtimes and encouraging your little eaters to get involved in their food.
And that's amazing. It's just like, I mean, I've got three kids, you've got three kids, and they sound like they're very similar ages as well. I've got a 7-year-old, a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And sometimes trying to get them to sit down and eat. And we try to eat as a family as well. And trying to get them to sit down and eat is such a struggle sometimes, because like halfway through dinner time, you know, you've got a game of tag that breaks out and they're all running around the living room. But, you know, it's trying to get them to sit, especially after sitting for so long at school as well, can be quite frustrating. But your plates are brilliant. So they're essentially, you've got like a face in the centre of the plate, haven't you? And then you can use the food to make like hair and clothes and things like that as well. They just look so much fun. So was this exactly why it was born out of?
You've exactly described my home situation, Louise. So very similar to you, I have a 5, a 4 and a 1-year-old. And the idea came about for me when my eldest was 3 and my now middle child was 2. And exactly as you say, everything was a battle and a distraction. We're a house that is, you know, chaotic in a fun way. You know, we're always laughing, joking, good, you know, game time. And it came to meals and it just was so stressful. As you say, trying to get them to sit down, somebody's running one way, somebody's running the other, you're trying to eat, you're trying to get them to focus. I was finding I was getting frustrated. And I just thought to myself, there has to be something out there. There has to be something that is going to make life easier. I tried different products. I tried, you know, making faces myself with different foods. And I just came up with this idea. And I said to my husband, you know, that I had this idea. This is what I was going to try with them, to try and get a focus around the meal times and to take the stress out of the situation.
Yeah.
So we were 2 years kind of in R&D. My own background is engineering design. So I understand, you know, component design. And I said, OK, I can make something. Let's see what we can do. So I still have my A4 pad of like different sketches and stuff that I did. So we were 2 years, as I said, in design, and I got a prototype plate. I worked with a really lovely Irish girl who helped me kind of design the brand, design the face itself. So as you described, it's a plain face with no hair on it. And you're encouraging your kids to create fun faces. So we used the prototype myself, gave it to some friends, and the feedback was just brilliant. And I'm using it now in my home for 3 years. And even now, you know, they'll still get a bit of laugh out of it. And it's about, again, how you want your focus around the meal times to be. So what's great about the plate is you can either, you know, dress the plate yourself and give it to your child, or you can put the food on the table and get them to create their meal. So as my children have got older, I've kind of given them a choice of food and they will create the faces around it. And it just gives a focus to mealtimes. Instead of somebody running away, they're looking at each other's plates, they're laughing, they're joking, we're talking about the food. And it's just certainly alleviated that stress and it's brought a focus back to mealtime for us.
Yeah, my eldest has ADHD, and so she spends so long masking and sitting down at school that by the time she gets home, she's either exhausted or she gets the zoomies and she just wants to play. And so trying to get her to sit down for mealtimes, she's either, you know, zoned out, bored, or
or she wants to go and play.
Yeah.
And it's usually because her sisters have come home from nursery just as dinner's being served. And so it's the first time all three of them have been together at the same time since breakfast. And they're just like, ah!
Yeah.
Manically want to be with each other and play with each other, which is lovely, but equally very frustrating. And so we tried everything to try and get them to sit down. We've done, we told them off. We put timers on. We used, all sorts of bribery for dessert and all that sort of stuff. And then in the end, I spoke to Emma, who you know as well as Dietitian with a Difference.
It's great, yeah.
She's brilliant. And she was just like, just let them eat till they're full. Just tell them, eat till they're, you eat till you're full. I'll take your food away. And then if you come back to me in 10 minutes and you're still hungry, you don't get dessert, you get your dinner back. And I was like, okay. So we tried it. And like, honestly, 9 times out of 10, they will sit there and they will eat until they're full and they'll be, gone. And then half an hour, they'll come back and they're ready for dessert. But, we give them that leeway between dinner and dessert just to make sure that they're still hungry. But I just think, even though my eldest is 7, I 100% know that she'd love a plate like this, that it would be really funny thing to do and muck around with. And she's so creative that, being able to like build your person as well be so much fun. But equally, like you scroll through Instagram and you see all these people like cutting stars out of little bits of bread and, making hearts out of cucumbers and stuff. And you just think, I haven't got time for that. But if they can build it themselves using spaghetti and broccoli and whatever, it's
Yeah, but
brilliant.
that's
Sounds like so much
exactly
fun.
it, because like everybody is busy. You're either working out of the home or working in the home. You don't have, when you look at Instagram, that was the one thing as well about the plate. No matter what way you put a food on the plate, it came to life. You don't need to be Picasso, and that's why I love sharing creations that people send me from home, because it is quick. And we all do give our kids waffles and beans and frozen chicken nuggets at times when things are chaotic, and that's okay. And that's the message I'm trying to, it's stress-free eating and bringing fun around the table. We were always taught for years, don't play with your food, sit down, eat, stress, stress, stress. And like you mentioned about having ADHD in the home, the amount of parents that have actually come to me to say, my child is on the spectrum, or my child has a neurodiverse issue, they don't like food touching, they don't like touching food. It's play. So you don't necessarily have to get them to eat the broccoli, but you can sit down and do an activity with broccoli, with food, with vegetable, and they can create faces. And it's about interacting, getting, rid of that sensitivity around touch and smell and taste. And we do great things about, smell the broccoli tree. What does it smell like? Now, 9 times out of 10, I can't get the three of them to eat it. I might get one, but I've certainly got them all, to touch it and to experience it. And it's just kind of reminding yourself that you are their role model, and kids do replicate what they see. So again, as you mentioned, you all try and sit down together. We certainly do try and do that too. I don't use a fussy food plate myself, but we all do try and, eat the same food and try and serve the same food, because I was going down that slippery slope of cooking different meals for different people. And as a busy mom, we just don't have time to do it.
It's so difficult. You don't have time to sit there and make, chicken nuggets for one, pasta for the other, or an actual like full on grown up meal for yourself. And so like what it, sometimes we deconstruct for the eldest so that it's not all mixed in, but she might eat everything in its individual components. So like we have pasta with chicken and something else as well. And then she'll have them all together, but not mixed in. Whereas my middle one, she doesn't like chicken nuggets. She only wants proper chicken, which is, fine by me. And then the youngest, she's just like a vegetable fiend. I'm pretty sure she is half vegetarian. She just wants it. You put broccoli down on her plate, it's like it's been inhaled. It's
Yeah,
amazing.
that's great.
But they're all so different. And so, we can never really get them all to eat, exactly the same amount from the plate. But they'll eat all eat the different they'll all eat more of one component than the other. So my eldest might want more pasta, my middle would want more chicken, and the youngest will steal everyone's broccoli. But at least they're eating, and that's the point, is that, you know, it's nice to actually see them eat something.
That's it too. You know, you're trying your best, and you're trying to tailor yourself to everybody's likes and dislikes. And I think we can be so hard on ourselves of, again, looking at social media and saying, oh my God, I should be cooking like a home cooked meal every night, and I'm worried because my child isn't eating enough broccoli. And, you know, we have to just kind of go easy on ourselves too, because it's hard enough, you know, raising a family in this day and age without kind of really being difficult on ourselves. But I just think, you know, what I find, as you say, you're dealing with people's different likes and dislikes. I often find what certainly works well for us is that kind of copying mentality. So when my eldest son is trying his broccoli, we're praising him so much, like to the point it's a bit ridiculous. And then my middle guy is going, and he'll pick up something and he'll have a little bite because he's going, oh, right, well, he's getting all the praise for it. So, you know, it's just trying to manage that situation as best we can.
It's funny as well. Like, I mean, I know there's a few posts on my Instagram showing me cooking with the kids, or my husband cooking with the kids. And it's not often that happens at all. It's usually weekends. It's usually weekends where we've had an all right night's sleep the night before and we can be bothered. But, you know, the kids, getting the kids involved in preparing the food or plating up helps, I found as well. And so when we've all got the energy and the patience, allowing them to help, you know, even if it's just putting cheese on a crumpet to go in the air fryer, it's something, it involves them. They get to see some of the process. Or like we made really easy air fryer donuts a while ago. And I let them help put the ingredients in the bowl. I mixed it because it was really sticky, got it to the right consistency, and then they helped roll it out. Some of the donuts were a bit better than others, but, you know, they all enjoyed having a go and then decorating them afterwards. Mm. But that's the thing, like, if you don't have the time, patience or energy for cooking together as a family, then at least plating up gets them involved in that food. They get to make a decision about how much is on their plate. You know, how much hair does your person need? You know, what sort of clothes are they going to wear? Are they going to have cucumber collars? What are they going to do now? You know, you're helping involve them in that process, involving them in the food, getting them to touch things that they might not usually touch. If they don't want to touch a slice of ham, usually they might decide that he needs a jacket. But it's that process, isn't it? You're involving them in the food, you're getting them to help out, they get praised for helping as well, helps them become more independent. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the benefits, I think, are endless when it comes to thing.
But that's exactly it. It's you know, the plate is great because it's quick. You know, it is literally you giving them the food, you dress it. So it's a very quick process. But you're absolutely right in terms of, you know, a top tip for not only fussy eaters, but just, again, like encouraging children with food is that involvement. I also have, that goes alongside the plate, is a really simple crinkle cutter, and also what we call press and pops, which are six individual shapes, and they're all food cutters that have a push top where it makes it easy for the little hands to create additional shapes. So, for example, my eldest son, he doesn't really like cheese, my middle son does, so I will give him a slice just from a packet, a slice of cheese, and get him to pick whatever shape he wants, and he'll cut out little stars of cheese. So it's amazing how you can get somebody to eat a little tiny star of cheese, but yet when you present them a boring square slice of cheese, of course they're not going to eat it. So as you say, it's that involvement is really key to kind of encouraging them.
Yeah, my younger two go to nursery, but it's essentially doesn't you know, tout itself as being so, but it's essentially a Montessori nursery. And so they really promote independence. The kids get involved in cooking things. Like yesterday they came, the younger two came home with spring rolls because they're looking at Chinese New Year. And so they'd helped make their own spring rolls, which was awesome. Considering the youngest one only turned two in November, she's been baking since she started, and she was 9 months old. So they, you know, they involve them in like making like apple danishes and things like that all the time. Sometimes you get handed a creation, you get told, you know, maybe don't eat that one. It might have a bit more snot in it than you
lovely,
thought it would. That's the point, is they got involved in it, you know. And so my middle one, she's three, she's turning four in April, but she's already used like the Montessori knives and things at nursery to cut things. And so when I say to her, no, you can't use a knife at home, she gets really upset about it, because she does at nursery. She can't quite work out that, you know, a Montessori knife is, you know, sharp enough to cut a piece of cucumber, but it's a plastic knife.
Yeah.
My one's a really sharp metal one. So no, we're not
doing that. No, definitely. No.
And so I mean, like, I'm on the brink of buying a Montessori cooking set so that the girls can really get involved. But it's, they, you know, even being able to try out the cutters and things themselves would be fun for them.
But again, it's allowing them the choice, or even getting them to think there's a choice. So for example, you know, there's the cheese that I want you to eat, but you can choose one of these six cutters. What shape would you like?
Yeah.
And then it's, okay, like I'd like a bear, or I'd like a fish. You know, very funny. They do eat salmon. They're quite good at eating salmon.
Yeah.
Wouldn't all be mad on carrots. So I have a cutter that's the shape of a fish. So interesting, we had a huge big conversation about eating fish, but there was this carrot that was in the shape of a fish. And why was that not a fish? And we were so busy talking about fish. And you know, we all of a sudden had carrots disappearing right in front of us. And I was like, genius, you know, it was just like something so silly, but yet one way you're having a different conversation about, you know, the origins of food. Like you're talking about Chinese New Year and the spring rolls. My kids all actually love rice. So I have like a little mini melon baller, and I'll make little round shapes of rice and give either a beard if I was serving with chicken, or, you know, hair.
Yeah.
And what I like to do is sometimes do the opposite. If I was plating up the plate, you know, one might have rice for a beard and the other would have rice for a hair. But we start talking about then the origins of rice. Do you know where it comes from? Do you know how it's grown?
Yeah.
And really then engaging them in what they're eating and where it's coming from. We always talk about kind of from farm to fork, which is great, kind of encouraging them. And another benefit I'm sure you've seen is around food waste. Mm-hmm. You know, you might serve something one day and then the next day they don't want to eat it. And you're saying to yourself, but you ate it all yesterday. So what's great about the plate as well is that you can, you know, take the food back, present it to them the next day in a different way, and it's a new meal and it's new food, and they forget that they didn't want it yesterday.
It's really funny, because like when my eldest was at nursery, by the time she was now when she was like three, she'd moved down to the preschool room, and they she was at a really large setting, and to promote that independence, they let them plate up their own food. And so they'd go, it almost buffet styly, go take their plates, and it was to sort of help with the hand-eye coordination around all of that, but also to allow them the independence of choosing how much they wanted to eat. And they found that the kids actually ate more when they plated it up themselves, because they had chosen those things. It had been their decision rather than it being like whacked in front of them. And the other day my husband made pizza bagels with them, so literally a bagel, gave them, you know, smeared some tomato puree on them, and then got them to, you know, dress their bagel before it went in the air fryer, so they could choose from like ham, pepperoni, different cheeses, vegetables and things to go on the top.
Yeah.
And it was really funny, because my eldest doesn't eat cooked vegetables, yet she tried putting some peppers on the top.
Isn't and then brilliant.
She tried eating it before deciding that she was going to pick them off, but she tried it.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's just trying, you know, and you're surprised the next time they come back, they'll go for that again and try it again. And then, you know, it's just that exposure. It really is just the repetition and exposure of the foods. It really works.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. So, you know, you spent 2 years in R&D with this and designing it and bringing it to fruition.
Yeah.
But you've had some fairly well-known support as well, haven't
yes,
you, along your journey?
Yeah. I got so lucky. Like when I set out on this journey, Louise, I had a plan of, you know, designing a product and taking it to market. I hadn't thought about, oh, I need a social media presence, or oh, I need to share. And it kind of grew legs naturally. And I thought, okay, let's give this, you know, influencer route a try. And I shared the plate and I got some really great feedback. And then I had a lady who, she's absolutely brilliant. Her name is Punita. Her handle on Instagram is See Is Mummy's Kitchen. And she was sharing and creating content for me. And she was tagging Mrs. Hinch, and Mrs. Hinch actually commented on one of her creations saying, oh my God, that plate is great and it looks brilliant. Anyway, so I reached out and I shared some with her, no strings attached. And she not only shared it once, twice, but she actually shared to her social media 3 times. So I was absolutely blown away to, I guess, of somebody of that caliber, but also she's a mom of 2 small boys, so she gets it, you know. And I've had some great other Irish people, like a celebrity chef called Donal Skehan, a lovely other celebrity chef called Lily Forberg. So some great, you know, exposure from I guess larger Instagram accounts, which has been great.
Oh, that's amazing. So what is next on the horizon for Fussy Food Plates?
I have some further products in development at the moment. So I'm hoping to expand on our current product offering. I'm also doing some trade shows. So the focus is to try and get into more stockists. We're looking at the UK market as well in terms of being able to have stockists within the UK too. So postage is expensive at the minute, you know, there's no getting around that. So it would be great to have some stockists. And I have plates that have gone to Australia, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Portugal. You know, we've sold plates globally. So it's really to just focus on building the brand and building our product portfolio and adding to our stockist pool as well. So a busy year, hopefully. We're just gonna keep going and see where the road takes us.
No, that's amazing. So at the moment, if someone wanted to buy one of your plates, where would they go?
So they can go to my website, which is fussyfoodplates.com, and you can choose from our different plate offerings. So we have one plate, which is our universal plate, which is more of a male face. I have a female face, and I also have a more diverse skin tone. And then we have our, which I mentioned, crinkle cutters and press and pop. So you can choose kind of a mix of what you want. So it's all there on the website. We also have an Instagram page, which is at the Fussy Food Plates, where we have built up a great little community of like-minded people who share their creations. We share recipes. So it's great to get inspiration for your Fussy Food Plates as well.
I was going to say, if we're looking for inspiration, head over to your Instagram. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really nice to see as well when you're over on your Instagram, to see what you're doing. Like when I headed over there, I could, you know, I saw obviously that you'd attended a couple of trade shows and things. It's lovely to see the setup and the stand
planned on doing that, Louise. It was very much just sharing, you know, the plate and the creations. And then people say to me, oh, I saw you went to this event, or I saw you at that. And actually, people who have followed me when I had like 2 followers versus now have kind of been actually so nice and supportive of the journey. You know, I'm getting good positive feedback. So it's nice to get that. And it's nice to share part of, you know, what goes on in the background too.
No, it's amazing. And, you know, I think that, I think people really do underestimate sometimes that people buy from people, and having those recommendations there and people showing, be able to show people using your plates and having the inspiration available. Like, you know, I mean, it's very easy to get stuck in the same rut of doing things. So being able to just pick up your phone while you're preparing a meal, have a quick look on your Instagram page to see how someone else might have dressed their plate and get some ideas from there is a fantastic resource to have, but also to be able to see you, the creator, the face of Fussy Food Plates and what you're doing. And I think people love a journey as well. It's really great to see how, you know, your brand has started off. Like if you go right to the beginning of your Instagram page and scroll up, being able to see that momentum and that growth and that journey, it's just a lovely thing to see. So congratulations on everything. It looks fantastic. And I'll definitely be getting a couple for myself, for my kids. Maybe one for me, because I'm a child anyway.
The amount of people who have said, do you do an adult version? I'm like, okay, maybe we're onto something here. Maybe I need to come back to that.
Don't do it. but also, everyone listening, Samantha very kindly has offered 10% off to all of my listeners. So if you head over to the Mums Work and Chaos website, over to the resources section, under Fussy Food Plates, you'll be able to find a listing for Samantha for the plates and also the code to get 10% off. So you'll be able to click through, go through to her website and get that 10% off. So yes, anyone who's listening and would like to try out Samantha's plates, just use the code Fussy, wasn't it, to get that 10% off. Yeah. So that's amazing. Please do follow her on socials. I'll make sure that I link everything in the synopsis below, or you know, head over to my website, www.mumsworkandchaos.com. Head over to the resources section, you'll be able to navigate to her from there as well. But thank you so much for joining me today, Samantha. It's been amazing talking to you and learning more about your brilliant product.
Well, thank you, Louise, for having me. I thoroughly enjoyed our chat, so thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode of Mums Work and Chaos, please make sure to subscribe on whatever podcasting channel you're listening on at the moment. Or if you'd like to get involved, feel free to email me at mumsworkandchaos@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at mumsworkandchaos. See you then.